America continues to move away from our biblical foundation. The LGBTQ agenda is being embraced and the murder of babies is being celebrated. This is a dark time for our country, but AFA is still fighting back, and we refuse to give up. Will you donate today to help us keep standing against every new attack? We'll give you access to the online video AFA at Home, Spiritual Warfare. Visit afaaction.net and thanks in advance. afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great morning. It is a Wednesday, July 24th. Lots of news has been hitting the airwaves in the last several days. And, you know, the big news a week ago Saturday when President Trump was shot at and came within an eyelash of losing his life. And they had, if you watched, they had Kimberly Cheadle, C-H-E-A-D-L-E, director of the Secret Service. She's been the director for less than 2 years. She had to go to Capitol Hill on Monday and was grilled and had no answers. It was just pathetic. It was just awful. This lady that obviously you don't get to be the director of the Secret Service by being a total idiot, but she came across as somebody who is totally ill-prepared, didn't know answers to any of the questions, didn't know anything. It was just mind-blowing. I posted today on X. I said, you know, nobody can be that inept. I mean, just nobody. So obviously, she knew the answers to the questions, or at least had a good idea, but she didn't want to say, which leads me and others to believe that there's a cover-up, that this was not just an epic fail, but this was done on purpose by someone or someones in the organization. I think that. Now, that's just me, and you know, you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist on things, but the longer I live, the more these conspiracy theorists make a lot of sense, and the theories seem to come true. Oh yeah, that did happen. I was mentioning to Jenna Ellis just the other day. I said, you know, Alex Jones. And I said this yesterday on the program. Alex Jones, who has InfoWars, and he's very bombastic. But he said after Trump's assassination attempt, he said, you watch, the next one they'll go after is Biden. And he said either they're going to try and kill Biden or poison Biden or shoot Biden, something. Well, he wasn't that far off, because it was just a short time later that Biden had to drop out of the race. Not what Biden wanted to do. Obviously, he made that very, very clear. He didn't want to. He was getting pressure to drop out of the race, but it's not something he wanted to do. So I want to talk to you today about courage. When I was talking to Tom Askell yesterday in the last segment of the program, we were talking about the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention and how their president, Brent Leatherwood, made a very idiotic tweet praising Joe Biden for his selfless act of stepping away from the presidential race. And I mean, it sounded like something straight out of Karine Jean-Pierre's mouth, and he got so much heat for it. And then from that, the ERLC, the executive committee, and the chairman, Kevin Smith, issued a statement saying he's been dismissed. That happened on Monday. And then on Tuesday, he was reinstated, and it was Kevin Smith who had to resign. And so it's just been a disaster. And, you know, what is the issue? Well, Tom said, here's the issue. And Megan Basham, who was just on with Jenna in the last program, she said it had to do with the blowback they got from Russell Moore and the New York Times and other publications, and you know, these heavy hitter non-Christians that are weighing in on the SBC. And her summation was, those guys couldn't stand the heat, so they backed off. And then Kevin Smith was left standing alone. And he said, "Oh, I thought I had the authorization from the committee. I guess I didn't. I was wrong." And Brent Leatherwood is reinstated. And somebody said this morning, said, "Well, you know, he was never fired because it wasn't legit. So he's just, you know, that it's not really a reinstatement because he never should have been removed." And so, anyway, all that makes me think of courage. Courage is something that we need. You know, when Moses died and Joshua took over, Joshua was nervous. He was nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And the Lord said to him, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." The Lord goes on to say, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous?" There it is the third time. "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." There's a desperate need in our land for Christians to be courageous, to stand up for the Lord, to stand up and speak up for the Lord, to stand alone if need be. Tom Askell said yesterday when he was taking a stand for things, he had people telling him, "Well, Tom, I'm with you privately, but I can't stand with you publicly for, you know, the concern that I would get, you know, blowback and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I can't take the hits, but I'm all for you taking the hits." There was a famous quote that I heard when conservatives were recognizing in the Southern Baptist Convention, recognizing, this is back in the 70s, recognizing what was going on, and the seminaries were all going, you know, drifting to the left or being steered to the left, whichever the case may be. And it was told to Dr. W.A. Criswell, "This is what is going on." And he said, he supposedly said in a meeting, it's kind of a funny statement, but he said, Paige Patterson was his associate pastor. And Criswell said, "I'm going to fight this liberalism thing to the last drop of Paige's blood." And we laughed about that. And obviously that was a tongue-in-cheek thing, but that's the way a lot of people are. I'm all for it. I'm all for Tucker Carlson going out there and taking a strong stand on things, and Bill O'Reilly taking a strong stand on things, and Ted Cruz taking a strong stand on things, Josh Hawley taking a strong stand. Yeah, go for it, go for it. But what about you standing up, taking a strong stand? You know, so many pastors, "Well, I don't want to talk about this subject, that subject, the other subject. It's too controversial." Well, what does the Bible say? We stand on the word of God, and the Lord made it clear to Joshua, "Hey, be strong and courageous. Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed. And stand up for the word. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Now, you can't do what you don't know. And so we have to know the Word, we have to spend time in the Word, and then we stand up for the Word of God. I was listening to a segment from Todd Friel, and he was playing one of the latest clips from Andy Stanley, who, you know, Andy, I don't know what happened to that guy, but he's constantly berating conservative Christians and propping up those who are mushy. And say, he made the statement that there are actually some Christians out there who say that you can't be Christian and vote Democrat. He said, how idiotic is that statement? Well, Todd Friel took issue with that, and he said, well, look at what the Democrats stand for. He said the Democrats made it clear they're for abortion. Now, if Kamala Harris is the candidate, what does she want? She wants no restrictions on abortion. Abortion up to the day of delivery or even afterward. They want gender affirming care. What does that mean? That means you mutilate young kids who are confused, and you lie to them, and you give them drugs, and you sterilize them when they're 12, 13, 14 years old, and then you perform surgery on healthy bodies to maim them for life. What kind of a person that says they love the Lord and love His Word and want to follow Jesus would support that? That is just the opposite of what Christianity stands for. So many areas where you just say, you know, we can't be pro-LGBTQAI+ and say we walk with God. That's impossible. God is light, 1 John chapter 1, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, or support the darkness, or vote for the darkness, well, then we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, I'm not trying to promote the Republicans and say, well, they got everything right, but we do have a two-party system in America, and you look at the party platforms, and you know, to my dismay, the party platform for the Republicans has softened on some key issues, namely abortion. And we stand firmly against abortion, but I wouldn't want to have a candidate get into office because I did nothing, and that candidate is for abortion and is pushing abortion up until delivery. I would do all that I can as a believer to say that is wrong. We want to stand against that and be courageous. It's very, very important. So back to the Kimberly Cheadle deal. So she's on Capitol Hill, and she's being grilled. And here's one of the questions.
So the Secret Service did not know that the gunman actually had a weapon before President Trump was allowed to get up on the stage?
To the best of our knowledge and the facts that we have at this point, that is correct.
So can you answer this question, which I think is on the mind of most Americans thinking about this? How can a 20-year-old with his father's AR-15 assault weapon climb onto a roof with a direct 150-yard line of sight to the speaker's podium without the Secret Service or local police stopping him?
So again, sir, I will say we are 9 days out from this event, and I would like to know those answers as well, which is why we are going through these investigations to be able to determine that fully.
So after 9 days, she knows nothing. She is not a courageous person. Now, she went there. She said, I'm coming to answer questions. But she didn't come to answer any questions. And they had to subpoena her to get her there because she didn't want to appear before Congress. This was her back and forth with Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Thrown over the area, period. Any part of the area.
Again, I would have to go back and check the timeline of when that took place and when the event.
Why didn't you bring the timeline with you today to answer our questions?
I don't have all of the answers on the timelines based on the criminal investigation.
Were you not prepared today to answer our questions?
I am prepared to answer the questions based on the information and wanted to be able to provide.
Do you have a timeline from any of the day?
I have a timeline that does not have specifics.
That's shocking. That is absolutely unacceptable. That means you are a failure at your job.
You know, if you're going to appear before Congress, you need to have the integrity to tell the truth. And you need to have the courage to stand up and speak what you think and what you believe and not cower and just say, I don't know. You're the director of the Secret Service. I'm glad she resigned. She should have been fired, but she did resign. But somebody needs to provide answers to those questions. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about courage. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about courage today on Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and it's one of the things that that the Lord says in His Word very, very clearly. That we are to be courageous. Now, the command given to Joshua is the same command given to you and to me. The Lord says to Joshua, "Have I not commanded you?" And God says to you and me as His children, "Have I not commanded you?" The Word of God is filled with commands. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Some years ago, I preached a sermon that was simply titled Strong and Courageous, and from Joshua chapter 1. And I asked the question, you know, how can you and I be strong and courageous for the Lord? How can we stand up and speak up for the truth and to be faithful witnesses and to do what the Scripture says, what Jesus tells us to do, Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. And, you know, if you're threatened and something that you value is threatened, if you don't sit down and shut up or go along or what have you, how can you buck that trend and fall into cowardice? How can you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand up and be counted. That's a good question. And that's a key question for today, because we live in this world for such a time as this. And it is very, very important that Christians be the salt and light God has called us to be. Jesus says salt is good, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So we can't let our testimonies get trashed because we're afraid. We can't be like that third servant in the book of Matthew who buried his one talent in the ground. And when the Lord came back, he said, "What did you do with what I gave you?" He said, "I buried it in the ground because I was afraid." The quote from Martin Niemöller that concerning Nazi Germany and his experience there is a very, very famous quote. He said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist." And he said, "Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist." He said, "Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." We have to stand up and speak up for what we know is right. We have to stand up and speak up for the truth. We have to stand up and speak up for the unborn. One of the jobs of a leader, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8, "Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." There's no one in society more afflicted, more needy, more unfortunate, more in the crosshairs than the unborn. And we have to stand up and speak up for the unborn and do all we can to preserve their life and to protect their life. And when it comes to voting, you don't vote for a candidate, directly or indirectly, who is all for destroying unborn babies. You just can't do that. And so I love this quote from, it's attributed to Winston Churchill. Some have said, no, he never said that. But the quote is great. And the quote says this: courage is the first of human virtues because it is the quality which guarantees all others. It is the quality, the virtue that guarantees all others is courage. You have to have courage to stand alone if need be. 1 Kings chapter 22, we read about the prophet Micaiah. He was willing to stand alone against all the prophets of Baal. And he told Ahab, if you go to battle with the Arameans, you're going to die. And all the false prophets said, oh, go up. God is going to deliver you into their hands. And Ahab just hated the prophet Micaiah because he says, he never prophesies good concerning me. Micaiah was faithful to tell him the truth and tell him what he needed to hear, not what he wanted to hear. You know, and that gets to us as pastors. And my pastor friends who are listening to me, listen, we need to tell people the truth. Thus says the Lord. And we need to tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. You know, people come to church and they want to hear what they want to hear. And, you know, they said in Isaiah's day, prophesy to us to illusion, speak to us pleasant words. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of God. We just want you to tickle our ears. We want you to tell us how good we are. We just want to hear more and more about how God loves us just the way we are. Now, God does love us the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay the way we are. And so in the last chapter that Paul ever penned before he got his head cut off, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, remember that, we're going to stand before him to give an account, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. People, they love to go to church to hear the preacher tell them, hey, you're living in sin, but it's okay because God understands and he's okay with that. Listen, God's not okay with that. He's not okay with sin in your life. He's not okay with sin in my life. And so when we come to church and the preacher is preaching the word with power and courage, well, what happens? Well, there's reproof. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Three things that we do as preachers, and two of them are negative. Nobody likes to be reproved and nobody likes to be rebuked. We want to just be exhorted. We want to be encouraged. And we do all those three. And the first two are the negative, and the third one, exhortation or encouragement, that's the positive. But listen, as Robert Robinson said when he wrote that song, Come Thou Fount, that famous line, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, that is within you, that is within me, that's within all of us. And so as we put ourselves before the Word of God every single day, as we come to church week after week after week, we are reproved, we're rebuked, we're told yet again, hey, here is true north, and align your lives with true north. You have started to wander, and so you need to get back to true north. And so you're reproved, you're rebuked, and then you're encouraged, you're exhorted. And that's what church is supposed to be. And that's what coming together to hear the word of God preached and to sing the word of God and to worship with fellow believers. That's what we do according to the word of God. And so as a leader, Joshua is told, be strong and courageous. And how are you going to be strong and courageous? It's connected to the word of God. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do it. So if we're not spending time in the Word and we're not rightly dividing the word, and we're not putting the word into practice in our lives. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, well, he's the man that built his house on the rock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, he's the man who built his house on the sand. And both houses, when you read in Matthew 7, both houses had the same issues. The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house. The house on the rock stood, but the house on the sand fell, and great was its fall. There are storms coming to you and your life, to me and my life. And the only way you stand the storms of life is if you build on the rock. And building on the rock means you hear the words of the Lord, you spend time in His Word, and you don't become a forgetful hearer, you become an effectual doer. You do what the Lord says to do. And as Christians in this day and age, we are on this earth for such a time as this. And just as Mordecai told Esther, who knows if you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. And if you don't speak up at this time, then God is going to bypass you and bring deliverance from somebody else. So this is your opportunity to stand up and speak up for the Lord. And she did, and she risked her life to do it. Now, you know, we talk about courage and what it will cost us. You know, what does it cost to be courageous? So going back to Tom Askell, those pastors that told him, Tom, I'm with you privately, but I can't stand with you publicly. So Tom, you take all the heat, you take all the shots, you lose all the blood, and we'll cheer you on, but we're going to cheer you on from the cheap seats. And that's not being courageous. That's being a coward. You have to be willing to stand up for what is right. I read a story years ago. I heard this in a sermon, and I just thought it was tremendous, and it's so convicting, but so encouraging at the same time. And it had to do with the Boxer Rebellion that took place in China right at the turn of the century, the 1800s to the 1900s. And the people that were promoting the rebellion, they came after the Chinese Christians, and they came after this little mission school, and they really didn't like the Christians, especially the American Christians or the Chinese Christians. And so they came after this school, and they herded all the students into a room and to await their execution. And they pulled a large cross off the wall from the chapel, and they threw it down on the ground. And the challenge was issued. The cross was in the mud. And they said to all these students, they said, you know, you're free to leave, but here's what you have to do. Here's the condition. On your way out, you need to step on the cross and trample it into the mud. And if you will do that, we'll let you go. But if you don't do that, you're going to be shot immediately. And as the story goes, the first 8 students, they obeyed and they trampled on the cross. And one by one, they were set free. But then something changed. A little Chinese girl, she had her turn, and she stopped at the foot of the cross. She was probably 18, 19 years old, and she had been born again, and the Lord had changed her life. And she said, I will never dishonor the cross of my Lord. I will never betray my Savior. And they killed her. She wouldn't step on the cross. And after that girl's act of courage and bravery and faithfulness, 92 of her classmates went to their death, refusing to dishonor the cross of Jesus Christ. Hey, courage begets courage. And if you stand up for the truth, if you stand up for what is right, if you stand up for the Lord and His Word, that emboldens others to do the same. But if you shrink back in fear and in cowardice, then it disheartens others who are watching you, especially as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, as somebody who's looked up to. Hey, we're the ones that need to set the example. We're the ones that need to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And we're the ones who say, listen, if it costs me friends, I'm going to stand for Jesus. If it costs me my job, I'm going to stand for Jesus. If it costs me my freedom, I'm going to stand for Jesus. Even if it costs me my life, I'm not going to deny him. Be faithful, Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I would love to hear from you on this topic of courage. And God's word to Joshua is God's word to us today. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The New Testament equivalent to that is Hebrews 13:5, where Jesus says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And because he has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, we may confidently say that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and it is such a privilege and a joy to be able to speak to you every morning here on American Family Radio. And so I hope that you call in. We have getting ready to have a 3-minute break, but that gives you time to call in a question, a comment, maybe a brief testimony that says, hey, I was afraid, but I took a stand for the Lord, and he stood by me, and he used that to be a blessing and to embolden others as they saw my strength and my faith. Listen, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. May you and I be faithful to Jesus no matter what. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about courage today. God wants us to be strong and courageous. As he said to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And 3 times in Joshua 1, the Lord told Joshua to be courageous. Hey, we are attracted to stories of courage, to men who and women who stand up in the face of difficulty, and they face it head on, And I still remember what George Foreman told me when he fought Joe Frazier for the first time when he was just a young guy going after a championship belt. I think George was 22 or 23, something like that, just a young guy. And he said, I always stared down my opponent, so I'm staring down Joe Frazier. And he had tremendous respect for Joe Frazier. And he said, I'm staring him down, and I'm glad Joe didn't look away or look down, because if he had looked down, he would have seen that my knees were shaking. And, you know, sometimes that's true for us. So we can look tough, but we're nervous inside. That's okay. One of the things I learned it years ago, that's a very, very important lesson to learn, is about fear. Fear is okay, as long as your faith is greater than your fear. Listen, everybody gets afraid. Paul said, told the Corinthians, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But he didn't let the fear win. So fear's okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. And so, you know, we say, well, if I'm going to be strong and courageous, then I'm just going to have the total absence of fear. Not necessarily. But, you know, if you wait for all the fear to be gone, to witness or to do anything, to step out of the boat, to get, move on with the Lord, you're probably not going to move on with the Lord. So don't wait for all the fear to go. Feel the fear and do it anyway. And step out and say, okay, that fear is there, but I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and I'm going to do what he says to do. And if I die doing it, then I'll just fulfill Revelation 2:10. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, Jesus said. It is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And so we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Dr. Shreve, thank you so much. You bless me. I listen to you every day. I don't want to be 60 seconds from the Word of God. So thank you for how you encourage me.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I contracted cancer 30 years ago. It was a very, very aggressive cancer. And I had received 3 chemos, and I was sitting in church. And I literally it was at the point of surrender, and I told the Lord that, Lord, if I live and that brings you glory, then so be it. And if I die and that brings you glory, so be it. And I'm catching my breath. And I remember the room actually being white in my mind as though I were there with him by myself. That's all I can remember. I was supposed to get 6 to 8 chemos. I went back that next day because it was Sunday, and I went back on Monday. And they had never done an ultrasound. And the cancer was gone, and the doctor was back in the days when there were folders. And the doctor kept saying, going in and out of the room. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for a file folder. I have the wrong file folder. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, there's no residual. I said, what's residual? And he said, the doctor will have to tell you that. So I go in to see the doctor, and there's no cancer.
Wow.
And yes, there is no cancer. And I knew what God had done at that moment. I didn't realize it before. And so I do only live to bring God glory, and it's 30 years later, and I have now, my family struggles with cancer. I now have a whole different type of cancer, and I have just gone through 7 rounds of chemo only for them to tell me that the cancer is gone. I did not understand why God hasn't healed me, but I knew that if he required me to walk this, that's what I would do. And I have been able to witness and testify along the way, and people would witness and testify back to me, and we would strengthen one another. And I just want to tell you, I'm not without courage today. I read in the gospel that we go through these trials and tribulations, and Christ will make me stronger. So I know I'm stronger because he said he would make me stronger, and I will be stronger when I get through this. And he also says to praise him when we walk through anything. And so with giants like you, I am standing and praising the Lord and walking this, and I will do that till the day I die. and I love him dearly, and nothing has changed about my faith, only I love him more and I'm stronger for it.
Amen. What a great testimony, Linda. Well, we just pray God's hand be upon you, his hand of healing, and you know your testimony blesses others because there's others going through what you're going through, and they needed to hear that word. So thanks for calling in and sharing that. And we are encouraged when we hear stories of people, and I've always said this, Linda, the greatest opportunity we have to shine for Christ in a dark and dying world is when we're facing tremendous difficulties and we're still praising God. That was the test with Job. Does Job fear God for nothing? You take everything away from Job and he'll curse you to your face, God. And the Lord said, you don't know Job. He won't do that. And Job didn't do that. He didn't understand why everything was falling apart in his life. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so your testimony is so powerful, Linda. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Well, we have Buddy on the line from Mississippi. Buddy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Look, I've only got about 5 minutes. I'm 85 in about three more days. Oh. And I listen to you religiously every evening, you know, beginning at 6. And I live here in Hernando, and I love it. I love your ministry. But a few days ago, you spoke to, you know, I think it was not an evening service, or could have been, and it's recorded, I'm almost certain, that you lambasted poor old Peter something awful. you remember now, right? So I said, I was 4 years Navy, and I always obeyed most of the time. Not always, those over me. I was a seaman, and there were petty officers, and there were chiefs. And I got in trouble a couple of times, but I usually obeyed their command. Uh-huh. Now, what I'm asking you, what if Peter was listening to Jesus and obeying his commands instead of being afraid or either not obeying each time he was lectured, you know, by Peter, by Jesus. And Peter, you talk like he was not under the authority of our Lord. And he was. But he still fell back and cried. And if that crying was about his failure to be obedient to Jesus, I wonder what was the expression on Jesus' face when he, was it a serious looking stare, or was it a smiling, happy looking face?
You're talking about when, Buddy, you're talking about when Peter denied the Lord?
Yes, when he denied him by the cock, only one rooster, and all those in that area.
It's yeah.
Lord, give me Jerusalem. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it does say, you know, after he denied the Lord the third time, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And I remember talking to my father-in-law about that. And I said, my father-in-law was a faithful pastor for 50 years. And I said, Gerald, what was that look? He said, that was a look of wounded love. Now, the Lord knew that Peter was going to deny him. He told Peter that he was going to deny him three times. You know, Peter argued and said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. And he said, no, you are going to do that. And he told him what was going to happen. But when it happened, it still hurt. And so, I remember that sermon. That was from a while back that I actually delivered that. You might have just heard it or might have just aired. But, you know, I can relate to Peter. Every Christian can relate to Peter, but we don't hold Peter up there as an example. He wouldn't hold himself up there as an example. We hold the Lord up there as an example that even when we are faithless, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, If we are faithless, he is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And even when Peter denied the Lord and cursed and swore and said, I don't even know the man, the Lord didn't kick Peter out. And Peter could, you know, he was convicted. He wept bitterly, but he confessed that sin to the Lord. He got that right with the Lord, and the Lord restored him and used him in such great ways. So Peter's a great example to you and me. What do you do when you have an epic fail? Follow in the footsteps of Peter. Don't follow in the footsteps of Judas, who went out and hanged himself. Peter had godly sorrow. Judas had worldly sorrow. And the Lord was greatly wounded by Peter's failure, but he knew it was coming. And he restored him. So I appreciate, buddy, you calling in. Appreciate your encouragement to me, my friend. And I need to rethink what I said there about Peter, but I didn't mean to throw him under the bus. I'm throwing myself under the bus if I'm throwing Peter under the bus, because he's definitely somebody I want to be like in terms of his boldness for the Lord. He was, tradition tells us, crucified upside down for his faith in Christ. And I love the last thing that he ever wrote, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Well, we have Ron on the line from Texas. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Tennessee,
I'm sorry. Man, my eyes are getting bad. The end looked like an X.
That's okay. We all make mistakes, and mistakes as in the archery term sin, which means to miss the mark, as uh-huh. we always do. I just wanted to mention in the spring of 2024, the lawmakers in Tennessee, they passed legislation that actually makes July the month of prayer and fasting in the state. And what happened is the time is designated as a time of prayer, and I'm quoting, as a time of prayer and fasting in Tennessee, seeking God's hand and mercy to heal Tennessee, for healing. It says specifically healing, the hand of mercy, healing on Tennessee. A letter that accompanied the resolution invites those who are physically and spiritually inclined to do so to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting for the month of July as a means of humbling ourselves to receive God's grace, mercy, and blessing in Tennessee and in our nation. So I know the radio airwaves go out there outside of Tennessee and WUIE here in Lakeside, Chattanooga. But I just wanted to say personally, the more suffering, the more I've been reduced, the greater I'm drawn to the Lord in prayer and fasting. I don't know why it is, but God wants us to seek him and get our eyes off of our automobiles, our homes, our children, and all of our other distractions that are causing us to take our eyes off the Lord. And I found personally that when that happens, I realize, oh, wait a minute, that's the Lord here. Well, I've been away from Jesus here. I haven't put in my heart, I haven't put my thoughts on Jesus. And like it says, even in the Old Testament for the Jews, mark your doors, mark your windows with the word of the Lord when you come in and when you go out. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be on your forehead, should be on your mind. Mm-hmm. When we don't do that, when we miss the mark, that's when we're blowing it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good word, Ron. Well, I appreciate you calling in with that and letting people know in Tennessee that July is the month for prayer and fasting. We definitely need it as a nation. If more Christians would pray and fast and seek God's face, we would see God do great things. We have time for one more call. Melinda in Illinois. Melinda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for having me. I know you're almost out of time, so I'll be brief. I just wanted to thank you for your word this morning. It definitely was encouraging to me. I
Good.
Had a situation earlier this week where I had to stand up for Jesus with regard to the VP, who now is the nominee, and I had to say, Christ comes first, and I can't vote for someone who's for killing our unborn children. And being an African-American female, there'll be a lot of pressure. So So right. For those African-American females out there who are Christians, you have to stand up for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Great word, Melinda. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out this day. All we have to live is this day. Go out this day. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Be courageous because the Lord is with us wherever we go. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.